Let us pray as we turn to God's Word. Living God, help us so to hear Your holy Word that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking Your honor and glory in all that we do. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our New Testament epistle reading comes from our Old Testament lesson comes today from Joshua, the 24th chapter. First four verses, and then some added verses, and then the 14th through the 15th verse. Listen for God's Word. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. Now, Jacob went to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron led them out." And then Joshua continued, "Now therefore, revere the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel this morning is from Matthew, 25th chapter, first 13 verses. Jesus said, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, 'Look, here comes the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' And all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy yourselves some.' So, while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were already went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. later, the other bridesmaids came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I don't know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
While I'm not going to delve into Joshua very much this week, he did call the Israelites together. And after having led them into Canaan, and as he was just about to die, he left them with these words, choose today whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It didn't read it, but the Israelites responded that indeed they would serve the Lord. But later, they faltered. They didn't serve the Lord. I think the lesson to be learned here is that people have to be responsible for themselves. There are certain things in life about which we must be independent. There are some details that no one else can do for us. We must take care of our own matters. We must stand on our own. Moving on to the gospel today, Jesus leaves us with a compelling parable. The primary meaning of the parable centers around the importance of waiting. In the allegorical interpretation of the parable, the bridegroom is Jesus, and the church is represented by the waiting maidens who are invited into the wedding feast. Since Matthew may have been written some 50 years after the resurrection of Christ, the church was struggling with the extended time interval between the first coming and the second coming of Christ. Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, which was the epistle for the day, talks about the same thing. And he was saying that they should be waiting and looking and ready at any time. And he was trying to get them to understand they were losing hope. And some would suggest that Matthew uses this parable to remind the church that the end will come, and it will come suddenly, but it won't necessarily come soon. This emphasis on waiting reminds us that we are not always in control. Sometimes we want what we want, and we want it right now. For some of us, waiting is very difficult. Perhaps it is especially difficult for us in this generation like ours, where we want instant gratification and instant access. We're not used to waiting. We don't like to wait in line, and especially when we have to be 6 foot apart. We don't want to wait for the mail or wait for our food. In this time of pandemic, We don't like to wear the masks, but we long to be hugged. We yearn to visit with others. However, I must tell you that the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life emphasize waiting. We are to pray and meditate and wait. For those who, quote, wait for the Lord shall renew their strength, which is what Isaiah tells us. Perhaps you have seen people who are really good at waiting. They have amazing strength. And these people are asked, how do you do it? Why are you so hopeful about the future? These are the people who know how to wait on God. Let me switch gears just a little. I think the parable also suggests that we are to stand on our own, to be strong and independent. But sometimes we need to borrow from others. Yet there are some things we can't borrow. The maidens in our parable want to borrow oil, but could not. Today, we can probably go next door and borrow an egg or a cup of sugar. We can borrow many things, but we cannot borrow character and integrity. We cannot borrow wisdom or selfless service. And we cannot borrow a relationship with God. Now, there are some things that others can do for us. They can care. They can share some of their resources. They can encourage us and offer support and inspiration. But they cannot answer to God for us. And we have the same limits on what we can do for them. We can't make their spiritual choices. We can't answer to God for them. We can't do their spiritual maturing. Others have to work with God to cultivate and produce their own spiritual fruit. I like the noted Scottish theologian William Barclay's interpretation. He says this, "The foolish virgins found it impossible to borrow oil when they discovered they needed it. A person cannot borrow a relationship with God. One must possess it for themselves. A person cannot borrow character. One must be clothed with it." Friends, we cannot always be living on the spiritual wealth which others have amassed. There are certain things we must win or acquire for ourselves, for we cannot borrow them from others. Every person must stand on their own regarding character. We build character over a lifetime of decision making. Day by day, we build our own reputations and our own character. Therefore, we cannot borrow character. Every person must stand on their own. Every person must stand on their own regarding salvation. While it is a worthy thing for parents to bring their babies before the church for an infant baptism, The parents can't make spiritual decisions for the child. No one can accept Christ for someone else's salvation. The Christian faith is more individual than that. Americans have gone overboard on our emphasis on rugged individualism. But I believe the individual stands before God alone. Every person must stand on their own regarding spiritual growth. It's not something God or other people can do for you. Not any of us can make another person grow spiritually. In the spiritual life, change must come from within. And even when one finally decides they want to change, it doesn't happen overnight. There are no shortcuts in the Christian life. Spiritual growth requires exercising the disciplines of the Christian life. Now, the Bible has a great power to change us, but only if we read it and study it and apply it to our lives. Prayer can bring a grace-filled life, but only if we dedicate the time and energy into it. Serving others has a transforming power, but only if we can look beyond our own selfishness long enough. No one can grow spiritually for another person either. Every person must stand on their own. Jesus' parable has a wonderful immediacy about it. Some of the women were wise and some were foolish. The story forces us to examine ourselves. Are we with the wise or the foolish? And remember, everyone, every person must stand on their own. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, help us to apply what you have said to us through your word. We know you're coming again. Help us to wait. Help us to be like Jesus as we wait. For it is in His name we pray. Amen.